In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. We are right on the precipice of Great Lent. And so the gospel, the final gospel we have as we begin to make this entry, focuses on a couple of things. In particular, it focuses on forgiveness and on fasting. Now, if you read back in chapter 6, which is the chapter we read this from, there are three things that are emphasized: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, all three. And these are really the cardinal virtues that we work on during this period of time. Today in particular, though, fasting and forgiveness. And another thing is that if you see the icon in the center of the church, you'll see poor little Adam and Eve there, poor little creatures huddled together and being dismissed out of paradise. So it's a sort of a parallel thesis that we focus on today as well, and that is our exile from paradise, which is our true home. We're never comfortable away from there, but we have a problem in that living in this creation, the tendency is very easily to make a God of the creation rather than the Creator. So this is something we're constantly struggling with, because we want to sort of give our, we wouldn't call it worship, but really when all is said and done, what did the passage say? Where your heart is, you know, there where your treasure is, there will your heart be. And so if our treasure is really in this world completely and not focused on God, then we have a problem. Along comes Lent. It's why the church gives it to us in this way. A tenth of the year that we are encouraged to set aside in order to realize that exile, to begin to do something about it, to enter into much more serious prayer, fasting, and almsgiving during this season. But one of the things that is very clear is that we can't really do that effectively if we don't forgive people in our lives. Now, we can have a zillion reasons for why we shouldn't have to, why this doesn't apply to us for some reason or another. And if it doesn't apply to you, then you won't do it. But you won't have the benefits of it either. This passage, right before where Father Deacon started reading, gives us the Lord's Prayer in the prayer section of it. And this is really the Lord's Prayer for us to do, not his prayer, but ours. And at the very end, he comments on one thing, and that is the line in which he says, "For if you do not forgive your brothers and sisters, God will not forgive you," paraphrased. And so all the prayer, fasting, and almsgiving that we want to do will be absolutely worthless if we don't at least make the effort to forgive people whom we need to in our lives. So we really have to take that seriously. It requires a moral inventory. Sometimes we are lacking forgiveness until we see someone we haven't seen for a while, and there it is, right in our throat. Sometimes we're very aware of people whom we need to forgive and have a difficult time doing it. Sometimes we look at the things that have happened and we think that they're unforgivable. Well, that may be true on a certain level, in the sense that they are absolutely bad things. To forgive someone is not to say what happened is okay, it's not a big deal. It probably is a big deal, it's significant. But forgiveness is something that we do in order to be set free from the burden of rancor and ill will and things like that, which we really need to do in order to be set free. It's, to not forgive someone, sometimes we feel that it's our way of punishing them. But it may punish them in a small way, but it really punishes us far more than them, because if we don't give forgiveness, we can't be forgiven. Can you accept that formula? It's hard to, isn't it, on a certain level. But if Netanim, poor guy's right here next to me every time, so I always grab him, but if Netanim wants to stand up and he won't forgive, come on, stand up. Oh, come on, stand up. It's very hard for him to do. But all he has to do is drop that. Let go of it. you know, process it through prayer or whatever. And then standing up is not so hard. Now, since he's down there in exile, he wants to come back up into paradise. And in order for him to be able to do that, he needs to be able to forgive and to have the freedom to rise again. It's an interesting thing in that we don't think of paradise as being somewhere far away that we'll get to if we behave ourselves or say certain formulas on our fingers or things like that that will come at the end of our lives. But we view paradise as being right here. As a matter of fact, in the Divine Liturgy, we're in the thick of it right now. A friend of mine, Father Stephen Freeman, says that we tend to look at our lives as a three-story house. You know, the basement, well, two-story. The basement is hell. The middle is where we're living now, and the top floor is paradise. But the church doesn't do that. They're all on one level. So we can be living in hell, we can be living in paradise, or we can be somewhere in between, which we usually are, at any given time, but it's all right there. One of the interesting things about the Divine Liturgy, or that's in the Divine Liturgy, is that we go through this listing of things right after the anaphora, right at the end of it, and it says, "We thank thee for all those things which come to pass for us, the cross, the tomb, the resurrection on the third day, the ascension into heaven, and the second and glorious coming." Has that happened? At least not in our chronos, it hasn't happened. But in terms of that victory being won and our ability to enter into that, it is happening all the time in the Lord's time. So paradise is not something that we wait for till the end of our lives, but rather something that if we don't have it in this life, we probably won't have it in the next. Same thing about a hellish experience of life. So this is our opportunity through the combination of these gifts that are given to us of prayer, of fasting, and of almsgiving to be able to turn away from our worship of the creation in its many forms and to restore our hearts to a worship of the Creator where it really belongs. And there isn't a one of us, I don't believe, maybe there's a few hidden saints out here I'm unaware of at some high level, but almost all of us absolutely need this. I think it's why in the scripture, of course, the Lord was talking primarily to scribes and Pharisees at that time, but he speaks to us as well, and he doesn't say to them, "And guys, if you feel like fasting, you know, think about it." He doesn't. What he says is, when you fast, do it this way or that way. And so these things that are given to us are absolutely needed and necessary, helpful. And so I encourage all of you to join me in getting rid of that slight dread that you have about it being Lent again and certain deprivation and that sort of thing, but rather to embrace it, because it's like almost anything in that if you really embrace it and go for it, it isn't so hard. But if you're negotiating it constantly, negotiating fasting, negotiating going to services, things like that, then it becomes very difficult. So do your very best to say yes. Yes, I will. Yes, I'll move forward with this. And I know that God will bless you in your struggles, and that as you enter into the disciplines and the blessings of Lent, that you will most definitely draw closer to paradise. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God.